Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Today's podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, which empowers gaming institutions to create an enhanced patron experience with a complete suite of integrated payment solutions that enable safe, secure, and trusted cash access at the cage, on the casino floor, or online. Learn more at pavilionpayments.com. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week our guest is John Payne, the president of VICI, a real estate investment trust concentrated on the gaming industry. When the REITs turned its sights on gaming, things happened very fast. Three REITs were quickly spun off from existing gaming companies, GLPI from Penn Entertainment, MGM Growth Properties from MGM Resorts, and VICI from Caesars Entertainment. Last year, VICI swallowed MGM Growth, and it now is the largest landowner on the Las Vegas Strip. VICI President John Payne previously worked as an executive with Caesars and knows casino operations like the back of his hand. He explains how VICI approached its REIT deals with casino operators and now includes most of MGM and Caesars properties, as well as the Venetian and Palazzo on the Las Vegas Strip. He spoke with me from his office in August. My guest today is John Payne, the CEO of VICI, the REIT that really is dominating the gaming sector. John, thanks for joining us. It's good to see you.
Yeah, Roger, thanks for having me. I'm not the CEO, but I am the COO and the president of the company. Okay. But it's great to see you and be with you and talk to you a little bit about VICI.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always been impressed with VICI because you have the operational experience as well. I mean, you went through the Harrah's and Caesars model there, and you know exactly what the operators need to do, which is something that landlords don't always know. So I think that's where you have the advantage.
Well, it's an interesting point. I was blessed to work at Harrah's and Caesars for 22 years, and a little over 5 years ago, split off and started VICI. And to your point, I didn't know when I left, would an operating background help a REIT in their underwriting of the business? And I found out in my 5 years that having an operating background and understanding the tenant's business has been a real positive for our company.
Sure. Well, why don't we start with you know, the evolution of VICI, you know, why it was formed and what you're up to right now.
Yeah. So back in 2017, the company was formed. It was part of a bankruptcy settlement. If you'll remember, right. A subsidiary of Caesars filed bankruptcy, not because the business wasn't doing well. The business was doing great. It had too much leverage on it from a private equity deal back in the late 2000s. And so in 2017, the subsidiary came out of bankruptcy, and that subsidiary split. The operations of 18 assets went back to Caesars, and they consolidated. Right. And this small little REIT called VICI was formed in October of 17 with 18 properties, one tenant, Caesars, and we probably had an enterprise value of $6 or $7 billion. And Roger, mm-hmm. We've been very blessed. We took the company public in February of 18. We're 5.5 years old today. We've gone from 18 properties to 54 properties, one tenant to 11 tenants, an enterprise value of $7-8 billion to an enterprise value of $50 billion. So in a very short period of time, we've grown and we've become partners with some fabulous operators in the casino business and also outside the casino business in what we call the experiential space.
Okay. Tell me what happened with the MGM REIT, MGM Growth, I believe they were called, and you gobbled them up pretty well a couple of years ago.
We did. It was a great opportunity for us to transform our company and acquire MGP and the assets of MGM, and it made us the largest real estate owner in Las Vegas on the Las Vegas Strip. We now have 10 assets on the Strip with Caesars, Hard Rock, and with the MGM assets that we own. But it also allowed us to acquire world-class regional assets that MGM operates all over the United States. So unique opportunity. We were excited to put it together. It was a $17 billion deal, and it transformed our company. And we're excited to have MGM as one of our 11 partners.
Okay, great. So I have to admit, I was a little bit doubtful about how this would work. Sometimes landlords don't really invest in their property; they just rake in the leasing. But you Vici and MGM before that were investing in their properties on a pretty good scale. Is that going to continue? Especially if things go into a downturn?
Well, think about this. We just a level set about the business that we're in. We are a triple net lease REIT that owns the buildings and the real estate, and we lease them back to great operators again in a triple net format. So it actually is the responsibility of the operator to continue to invest in the properties. We do have in our leases some minimal capital investments that they need to make. But that's the beauty of the industry that our tenants are in and how creative they are, is they understand the alignment that if they invest in their buildings, they will get the majority of the EBITDA growth. Now, we do have what we call property growth funds. So if there's an opportunity for one of our tenants to build large capital investments on a property that we own, we can make those investments should the tenant want to do that. But you've nailed it. The operators are fantastic, particularly in Las Vegas. That city continues to be, Roger, I'm not sure there's a more productive city in the world and one that's growing at the pace that it is. And the tailwinds are just incredible for it. So it's a great model, and it's been successful not only in the gaming, which is new, but in many other sectors, office, malls, logistics, self-storage, hotel, others as well.
Okay. So you are the largest landowner on the Strip, but it's a very competitive market, and so how do you favor one over the other? Do you just sit back and watch them knock each other off their pedestal?
Yeah, we don't. The beauty of our model and who we are is we can be partners with all of the competitors in Las Vegas. We have no operational insight. So Roger, you were right. We started out talking about that I did come from an operating background, but we joke that I'm a recovering operator, that right. In my business today, right. We don't operate at all. And yeah. We own the land and the building and we lease it back. Now, regarding Vegas, we do have a large presence on the Strip. As I said, we have 10 assets over 660 acres. But I wouldn't be surprised if over the coming years, we have more investment in Las Vegas. We don't own any assets downtown. There's wonderful assets there. We don't own any Las Vegas regional assets. Those mm-hmm. are performing continually well. And if there was the right opportunity on Las Vegas Strip, again, to add a wonderful world-class asset, we would do that. So we can own real estate and lease it back to competitors, but we don't have anything to say about the operations.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's some really great properties on the Strip that you don't own. So I guess there's a really strong opportunity there, particularly if their operations are not doing as well as they hoped.
Yeah. I don't think it doesn't necessarily mean if they're not as they hope. Our capital is very effective if a company wants to monetize an asset and then use those funds for growth in other areas. And there are some assets on the Strip that are still wholly owned that are fabulous. And if one day the operator would like to sell the real estate, we of course would be interested. It has to be accretive for us, has to make sense for us, has to be right for our shareholders. But it's a city that we continue to watch in amazement because the operators are so good. And this is all before Formula One, the Super Bowl, and the customers continue to come to this city from all over the world.
Sure. Okay. So you also own a lot of regional properties, a lot of the MGM properties, and you were in Atlantic City last week. You own a bunch of properties there. What's your strategy for the regional? Do you see that as a real growth area?
We have added resources and properties all over the United States. We have made our first investment internationally into some Canadian assets as well. There are regional markets that we're not in right now, markets like Reno and Lake Charles. There'll be new regional markets. New York's going to open up, we believe, at some time. We do think states possibly in Kentucky or Georgia in our lifetime. So We talk a lot about Las Vegas because we're obviously very proud of those assets, but we've got a large investment all over the United States, and we're going to continue to look for opportunities there. I mean, we were, as you said, we were just in Las Vegas. I had the opportunity to tour our assets there. We have two operators there in Caesars, and we own the Borgata as well. And it's amazing the amount of investment that Caesars and MGM have made into these three assets that we own. And it was a wonderful couple of days. I was there touring the assets with the presidents, and I'm really proud of what they've done there.
Yeah, no question. So gaming has really rebounded amazingly from the pandemic. I mean, the revenues have just gone through the roof, setting records every month. Why do you think that's happened?
Well, again, that's probably a greater question for an operator, but the way I would answer it is these are the best. In my job today, I get to visit with CEOs and COOs and presidents of all types of hospitality and entertainment experiential companies. I still believe the gaming operators are the best in the world at operating experiential and hospitality assets. And so when COVID came, they had the opportunity to reinvent their business. And instead of curling up in a ball, like many of us did with like, oh, what's going to happen? The operators of these casino assets said, how can we operate the business better? And when they reopened these businesses, they reopened them more effectively, leaner. They're smarter in the way that they distribute marketing reinvestment. And they've made the businesses more profitable, not only in Las Vegas, Roger, but all over the world.
Sure,
and
right.
I think all the credit to them of there are many people that can't look in the mirror and say, hey, we can do things better. They did that and they reopened and they're very effective. Now, from Vici's standpoint, Roger, we this tells you how strong the real estate is to the operation. Is when every casino we owned was closed, we still collected 100% of our rent.
Right. Yeah.
We're one of only three REITs in the nation that were able to do that. And it allowed us to come with the pandemic in very good shape and allowed us to grow and ultimately reinvest with our partners and grow our business.
Okay, great. So Vici also has a golf division. I think you have, four or five courses, but they're all somehow connected to casinos. What's your strategy there? Are you going to look for courses that aren't connected to casinos now, or does it always have to be a casino connected property?
It's a great question. Golf courses came to us as part of the settlement when we started Vici. And we ran them internally with a new Vici golf division for the first 5 years we ran Vici. Recently, we still own the golf courses. We lease them, and the operation goes back to a company called Cabot Golf. Okay. Cabot is a world-class operator that builds pilgrimage golf experiences. And we are helping them, Roger, grow their platform all over the world. We've only announced one partnership with them outside Tampa, where they're going to be opening a new pilgrimage golf course. And what I mean about pilgrimages, if you're a golfer, you plan months or years in advance, and you go with your friends and you stay on site and you play multiple times there. They have one open in Tampa. They have a new one opening in St. Lucia, and they're expanding all over the world. So to answer your question, we're investing with them. And I have a feeling over the next couple of years, we'll continue to look at opportunities at the top of the pyramid in golf, in this pilgrimage golf sector.
Okay. I've spoken with a lot of casino executives who have either inherited or started a golf course. And they tell me it's not a good ROI investment, but this sounds like this company with this pilgrimage idea, has a definite way to make money on these courses.
Yeah, there's not one way to run a golf course. And I will tell you, as one of them who would have said the same thing to you 10 years ago about golf and not making money, I sure have learned a lot from people who are experts in what they do. And I don't think there's a better operator in the world as Cabot. And they know how to run golf courses, just as casino operators know how to run those resorts that are behind your head. They know how to run golf courses to make it a real business. And that's what's been exciting. In my role, being able to go out and find the best partners or tenants in the world and learning how their business can fit into our model.
Great. So you mentioned some of the other categories that REITs are involved in. Are you interested in getting into some of these categories, say the restaurants or entertainment or the malls, that kind of thing?
Well, not the malls, but I'll tell you how we think about our business, that we were born a casino REIT and started that way. And over the first 5 years, we've grown substantially in that space. But we always knew we would invest our capital in the experiential sector. We always described ourselves as an experiential REIT. And we've started on that journey probably about 2 years ago, where we're making investments in other forms of real estate, such as indoor water parks, health and wellness. We just announced a partnership with Canyon Ranch. You and I just talked about golf. I think there's opportunities in family entertainment centers, water parks, amusement parks, other areas of experiential and sports. We've been studying the professional sports, the youth sports, and the collegiate sports area. So Roger, I think over the next 5 years, you'll see us continue to diversify our portfolio, particularly in areas where we don't own gaming assets. So if you think of the United States, Florida, Georgia, Texas, Arizona, states that are growing population-wise, but don't necessarily have commercial casinos, I think you'll see us continue to diversify. And it's been really fun and interesting for me and my colleagues to study these businesses and sectors. But you won't see us in office or malls or logistics. Right. It's just not what we're doing, more in the experiential categories.
Okay, great. So you mentioned you had a couple of properties in Canada. As gaming's all over the world. I mean, certainly in Asia, having been to Macau a dozen times or more, the properties there are spectacular. I mean, are you interested in getting into more international markets?
We are. It is unusual for US REITs to go and invest internationally. There's only a few that do that. We have decided that is part of our growth strategy. And as you mentioned, we have made two investments in Canada already. What we're doing right now, Roger, is studying other countries that make sense for our form of capital, that have the right rule of law, that have the right tax structure. And there are countries such as Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, parts of Europe, the UK. And so I think over the coming years, you will see us place investments not only in the gaming side, but also in what we would describe as experiential. And that will help our company continue on the growth path that it's been on the past 5 years. And I've been, my passport's gotten a lot of stamps lately as we're studying other countries and how we could possibly place some of our capital to work.
Okay, great. So I've been hearing for the past couple of years, you've been looking into possibly getting into Indian country, and I'm not sure how that would work given the sovereign nature of the Indian, the Native American governments. Is that a possibility, things going forward there?
Well, we have three Native American partners already who we've helped work in acquiring commercial casinos. So the Seminoles are our partners with the Mirage in Las Vegas. That is, that you've heard, they're converting into a Hard Rock, which is very exciting.
Right.
We're partners with the Cherokee Tribe of North Carolina, the Eastern Band, on a property in Southern Indiana. And we just recently announced a partnership with the Cherokee Tribe of Oklahoma that acquired an asset from MGM in Tunica. And so we are building relationships with Native American nations in helping them expand outside their current reservations and their land. And we have those partnerships and we hope those will continue. I think your question was, do you think there'll be a time where we could own real estate on reservation land or with the nation? And I think we're continuing to study. And are there some casinos that we can help grow, whether that's exactly on their land or not? Where we're very similar is we're long-term generational investors. The tribes are building assets on their reservations for centuries. Right. We're building assets and holding assets, hopefully for a century, but at least decades. Our leases have an average of 43 years. Roger, I always joke when I'm doing a deal, that's longer than most marriages. And so, we are long-term investors, but we're so proud of the deals we have with the three Native American nations that we already do business with. And we see that area expanding, whether that flows into reservation land, we'll have to see in the future.
Sure. Well, you know, they always talk about, you know, the seven generations that they look forward to. And this seems to fit your model perfectly.
It does.
Explain to me some of the rules of REITs. Now, whenever you make a profit, you have to distribute the dividends, as I understand. How do people then build equity in REITs if they keep taking dividends?
Well, it's a good question. And how are we rewarded? I mean, some of the basics are 90% of taxable income have to be distributed to our shareholders. And people look to us, or we communicate to our investors, Roger, that we're going to deliver 10 to 12% total return a year to them. And that can come in a dividend. Right now, our dividend, depending on our stock price, is roughly about 5%. We also grow our shares with what we call same store sales escalators. And then each year I got to go do my job, Roger, as the president. My job is to grow the business accretively. And so if you've been an investor in VICI since we started, you've done quite well, particularly if you compare us to the S&P 500 or what we call the RMZ, which is the REIT index. I mean, if you've gotten us since our IPO, you've had a return of well over 100%. I think the S&P 500, I'd have to think, I think it's about 70% and the RMZ is in the 40-50%. So we've really outperformed. Or if you've held our stock, our dividend has had a five-year CAGR of about 8.2% growth, which has been one of the highest performers. And then finally, we were the highest performer in the S&P as it pertains to REITs last year. We grew 12% and the RMZ declined 20%. So there's many ways you can grow with holding our stock. You're going to get your dividend every year, which is nice income. And a lot of people hold REITs for that. We've been blessed in being able to grow the company and also have capital appreciation. Our stock has gone up and we plan to continue to do that for our shareholders. There's no reason why we can't follow what we've done and over the past 5 years. And I'm really excited about the future. And I should have said, Roger, you know, we only have 27 people in our whole company. So we're a 50 billion-ish enterprise value. We're based in New York, but there's only 27 of us. So the team has done just a magnificent job and we're excited about our future.
Great. So in terms of the future for REITs, do you think that is going to be a model that's going to continue to grow?
You know, that's an interesting one about, are there enough REITs or are there too many REITs? What I would tell you just to speak about, because I can't predict that in the future, what I would say about us is we are forming our own path. There's no one else doing what we're doing, which is finding unique non-commodity real estate in the experiential sector and investing in creatively and growing our business. And so we're kind of running our own race. You ever heard that? I mean, I tell my kids that all the time. You got to run your own race. And we're running our own risk there. Whether other REITs decide to do this or not, we'll watch. There's no question there is excitement about the casino space all over the world. And the credit for that goes to the operators who have come out of COVID with just humming results.
Great. Well, John, you've got an exciting future ahead of you. I think some of the things you mentioned there, I mean, there's really possibilities for VICI to grow into a really major REIT. And, you know, even though I think you are already there, $15 billion is nothing to sneeze at. So thanks for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And let's stay in touch because, you know, your company is really going to direct a lot of the future of the gaming industry as a whole. So, again, thanks for joining us.
Well, Roger, I appreciate your time and appreciate your comments about VICI. And I look forward to seeing you in Las Vegas soon.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast, sponsored by Pavilion Payments, the industry's leading cashless payment provider. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the weekly news of the gaming industry, subscribe to ggbnews.com. Use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.